You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hi, everybody out there in One of Us world. This is Matt Foster.
And I'm Trevor T. Trujillo. You may have heard one, the other, or both of us on Screener Squad.
Or maybe you heard neither of us.
That's not helpful.
You can atone if you've heard neither of us by listening to Screener Squad or by catching our show, the Nighthawks Podcast.
Oh, good save. Yeah, take a seat in the Nighthawks Diner with us. Get ready to get to the granular grist of the movies we love.
And sometimes the movies we like really hard.
You can find us on Spotify, Audible, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and always at NighthawksPodcast.com.
Well, it looks like it's time to do the awards for the creepiest child in film. And this year, our nominees. Well, now fuck it, the winner. The little girl on the poster for the Tunisian horror film Dashra, because fuck. Where did they find this child? Sometimes a kid staring into the camera with that, you know, that even parents get creeped out with, just some kid gifted by their genetics to be creepy as fuck. That's all you need, brother, to sell your movie. And that's all they've really used to sell Dashra, other than it is the most successful made in Tunisia by Tunisians horror film ever made. I believe it's the first Tunisian horror film. It was shot for $80,000. And you know what? For all that, it's a really, really good-looking film in terms of, wow, this director knows how to shoot the fuck out of a scene. They're making the most out of this budget. They're taking big chances. Did someone forget to tell the screenwriter to keep up? Oh, no, it's fine. He'll just go to the local last Blockbuster left in Tunisia and just write down shit from the back of other horror movie covers and cobble it together into a script. Sorry. I'm not damning with faint praise because I really do have a lot of really nice things to say about Dashra, but like the originality of the story is definitely not going to be one of them. Here to talk with me about this horror film are LaWayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Robert.
Hello there.
And Adrian.
Hello, hello.
So we do, when we're doing these reviews, video that sometimes we put up for you guys to see, sometimes we don't. This is one of the don't. A lot of the guys and myself sometimes like to give ourselves little extra stuff on our titles. And I gotta know, Adrian has like Arabic script written on his. I'm just curious as fuck what that says.
It's a curse for the three of you, and you're all going to be cursed after this review. No, it literally just says Adrian the Critic. At least that's what Google told me it says, so we'll see.
That's what Google wants you to think it's saying.
It's the same source they go to for tattoo shops and Chinese characters, so you should be fine. So Adrian the Cocksucker, what did you think?
You bastard.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I think this is a very well shot movie. In fact, there's a scene that I really like that unfortunately didn't kind of go anywhere, but there's a scene where one character is just kind of throwing glass bottles down a pit, and it's shot from the inside of a pit. It's not really like an important scene, but it just looks so nice. Like, it's artistic, it's a good angle, and then nothing happens for a good maybe hour until you start to realize, like, oh yeah, well, obviously this is going to be the shit that's going down. And then it decides to not do anything again for another 45 minutes until the last, like,
little extreme
10 minutes of the movie, where it kind of wraps up in exactly the type of way it was going to wrap up. Because there are certain characters in this film where the moment they come on screen, it's kind of like, why are you guys still here and not getting the fuck out of here? Like, you know you should be doing right now.
Well, let's get into what this is actually about. This follows a bunch of university journalism students, Yasmin, Walid, and Belil, who in their class, they're being tasked with doing a filmed investigative report on any subject as long as they don't do it about the revolution. I don't know anything about Tunisia, so I guess there was a revolution at some point, and everybody apparently does films about revolution in the backstory of this. One of them is a cameraman says, hey, I actually have this person I know who works at the asylum, which is a distance away, but close enough. And they say there's this woman there who has been there for 20 years and has been confined in the deepest, darkest part of the asylum. And she was found naked and with her throat cut in the middle of nowhere, and named Mangia. And everyone there thinks she's a witch because freaky shit happens all the time around her and there. So they're like, okay, we'll set this up. And they get the whole thing where the three of them go out there to do an interview, and they interview the guy who runs the place, a, you know, smart, dressed, young guy who's like really excited and sort of narcissistic to be on camera. And they start asking him about it. He's like, there's absolutely no one here under that name, and this interview is over. So they end up getting to see this woman who's indeed kind of creepy. Ends up attacking them, of course, and attacking the people there. But regardless, all this leads to them finding out exactly where it was she was found. And they decide, okay, we're going to drive out there because we got to have something else to put together for this project. We're going to try and film more where her body was found. And they're there. And for reasons that aren't clear at all at this moment, they go, I think we should follow this trail into the woods and just keep going. Even though they had said she was fallen by the side of the road, they just go into the woods. So they travel into the woods, and they run across the people from the Blair Witch Project on the way. Hey, how you doing? Everything nice out here, right? And presumably they all go, hey, fuck you, buddy. Fuck you. Oh, no, fuck you. Fuck us. Fuck, yeah, fuck, you know what? Fuck you, too. Because it's that kind of group of people, if you know what I'm saying. And they find themselves in a dashra, which means isolated hamlet, or at least that's one interpretation of it, where apparently she seemed to have come from at some point, Nemanjia. They find this guy who they had originally seen on the side of the road, Saber, who's like, hey, how you guys doing? Oh my God, I'm so glad you're here. It's so good to see you. Hey, why don't you come into our little adashra and we'll feed you some lunch and we'll hang out. It'll be great. I love you guys so much. It's so, you know, not the kind of horror character you normally expect to see in the intro to a really creepy looking hamlet with literally hanging out to dry and cooking entrails hanging all over the place. I mean, it's really like a backyard picnic at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house is what it looks like. They're like, but you got this guy who's like, hey, what's going on? You want to watch the game with us later? You know, that kind of thing. And they are like, okay, awkward, but I guess we'll stay and try and ask some questions. And it's weird because all the women there, he's like, the women aren't allowed to talk to anyone, which, you know, should be a sign right off the bat. What the fuck are you still doing there? But it's Tunisia, so I guess it's not that uncommon. One thing leads to another. Before you know it, they're forced to spend the night. Things get bad and they get worse. A mystery is revealed. A conspiracy is revealed. Things are not as they actually seem.
Surprise. Yeah. When they're going to serve you dinner and they're just going to tell you it's meat. Oh, yeah. What is it? It's just meat. No, I need a little more specificity than that.
You know, even in Texas, much less an isolated hamlet in the middle of the Tunisian woods, which I always thought Tunisia was just deserts because they filmed Star Wars there. But I guess not. Right.
That's what I thought when they were talking about the most successful movie filmed in Tunisia. I'm like, well, there's this little movie.
This movie kind of feels like it's filmed in what's inevitably going to be the setting for the next Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
This is a cool-ass spooky village, and I'm not sure if they built the whole thing themselves or they added stuff to what was already there, but if it is like a little hamlet that was already there, that's quite a find. It leads to like very, very effective atmosphere. I'm just trying to think of more nice things to say about this.
Well, because it is one of those films that's suggestive rather than direct. I mean, right. Up until the third act, nothing happens on screen. Horror that's not a dream or a hallucination. So it's sort of like a very slow burn atmospheric mystery film. And then towards the very end, it's cannibalistic Texas Chainsaw Massacre witches.
Part of the dissonance of it for me a little bit is that the main character, I guess you could say, Yasmin, is in a supernatural story. The little town is not, I don't think. There's some horrible stuff that we see, but I also don't think that they're really showing anything like Amityville or we're going anywhere like that. The director talked about how children dying for the purposes of people using blood for people that want to live forever is like actually really a fucking thing in modern Tunisia. This dude has came out of successfully writing like drama TV, like literal soap opera stuff, But at his first swing at a movie, he took this because he just thinks it's so fucked up that it's happening. I think the opening of the movie is one of the best openings for a horror movie I've seen in years. You've seen a knife come on screen and a camera pan away, but what he did in those opening couple minutes, I think, is to push the disgusting idea to the people that are watching it that could be possibly be connected to this heinous stuff in real life, to show you that this is what the fuck this really means if this is really happening. But then we're also, someone's having dreams and stuff like that. Yo, I'm a big fan of backdoor villains. There's a really early tell that I didn't get the second time or the first time I saw this film about what's in this sandwich. Oh, it's piranha. And piranha being like the cannibalistic fish is one of the coolest little stabs in Act One I've seen in a while. I'm totally with y'all. I do like the story more than I would if this was just a regular shot, non-great atmosphere flick, but it fucking looks phenomenal. Like, there's just so many different types of camera shots and still setups, and I really dug a lot about it.
Well, there's a side plot with her grandfather who seems to be, like, aware that something is going on that is totally unnecessary to this film and just takes up screen time. And it's too long as it is at, like, hour and 50-some minutes. You're like, why is he even in this movie? There's also, like you said, is it supernatural or not? Because there's also insinuations late in the movie, like a journal is found that insinuates that there is a character who's been alive since like at least the turn of the century and decidedly shouldn't still look the same. And it's true. There are communities that still do human sacrifice and blood to live forever. I wouldn't know anything about that. Of course not, because I live in America and we don't do those sort of things outside of Austin.
Chris has been saying that in live reviews since Citizen Kane came out.
Wasn't me, man. That's my grandfather. I mean, everyone says we look exactly alike.
Just the mustache.
Even though the storyline elements are really derivative, even though this is really slow, I was so consistently impressed with the cinematography in this thing. As well as, I think, especially the guy, the obsequious guy in the village. He's great, man. It's sad that right from the beginning, you're like, well, you know that guy's got to be bad, right? Because you kind of like him. You're like, I'd party with that guy.
And there's another pulled punch that I loved when he's convincing them, you know, don't go back to your car. You know, stay here. I'm going to ask everybody to cook. And then somebody says, what are you going to cook? And they just kind of show him smirk. And like, that's it. Like, anytime you get questionable answers about food in a horror movie, it's a big red flag in case anybody's out there.
They do a good job of setting up stuff to make you feel super squicky without even needing to show it to you for most of the movie. It's not till close to the end of the movie, even though you know it's coming, that they actually show it to you. And then it's pretty gruesome, but they do a really good job at making it all happen inside your head. Yeah. The whole thing is so grimy. And I think we said it was shot presumably on like a cell phone.
It looks like it was shot on a Galaxy Note Ultra 20. You can shoot in 5K.
But it's impressively shot. Some of those sequences where they're really ramping up the dreariness of this hovels in this village and the meat that's just fucking everywhere. It really is a atmosphere effective despite the predictability. If they had managed to cut 25 minutes from this movie, this would have been a high recommend for me, but it just does drag for a lot of its running time.
I can't understand why this had to be longer than 90 minutes. It really does kind of feel like a slog to the point where I felt tired watching this movie. And I feel like I shouldn't, because it is something very, very interesting. Like any time you take another culture's kind of folklore and bring it into the horseware, it's really interesting. Anytime you take a witch outside of America, that's scary shit because you don't know what's going to fucking happen. Right now, YouTube Afghanistan witch video, and that like little 90-second video is one of the scariest things I've ever seen. I don't know if it's real or not. It's probably fake, but I don't know. I'm not going to fucking tempt fate like these dumbasses do in this movie.
Get the camera. We'll go to the place tonight.
No.
Where is it, Adrian? Can you show it to us on a map?
By all means, all this should be scary, but even when it does like standard horror fare, like there's a couple jump scares, there's a couple spooky women walking in the dark, and ooh, she's getting closer. I just wasn't scared. I think there's only one moment, or maybe two, that genuinely freaked me out. There's a woman taking a shower and something kind of fucked up happens where it's like, oh, that's fucking upsetting. And then right after that, there's a scene with an old man who goes, nummy, nummy, numb fingers, which I thought was like, oh shit, where'd that come from?
Not to knock too much, but this is another notch in my love belt for modern horror movies, is having something fucked up happen and then cut to, oh, it was a dream.
Yeah.
But then having something else fucked up happen, and then that was inside a dream, I'm a big fan. That's cool.
See,
stuff.
I hate it unless they do it three times. Because twice is predictable as shit. I'm always like, okay, it's a dream within a dream. But then I'm like, relax, because I'm like, all right, it's over. So if you do it a third time, and then you'll get me, I'll be like, all right, hats off. But it better be good.
There's a quick scene where the group of filmmakers, they ask like a local villager, they're like, hey, do you know by chance about this witch who's like spooky as hell? And he just turns right the fuck around and just walks away. And I thought, that's awesome.
Nope. I love that. I love that scene too, because they're like in ostensibly the middle of nowhere. And he comes walking from the opposite side of the road, gets to them and is like, nah, fuck this. And just goes back. I'm like, he can't go around. Like, he just went home. No.
You know, if I was the filmmakers at that point, I'd be like, oh, it's a lovely place. Nice little place for isolated Hamlet. Too bad we can't stay. Final thoughts, Luane.
Most of what I would say is variations of what we've been talking about. If you know the language of horror movies at all, you're going to know a lot of what's going on in this film. And any surprises are going to basically be confusion based on, well, but it seemed like it was this kind of thing earlier. Like when she's having the scary events that Robert was talking about, is she unreliable? Is there a supernatural threat to her? And then we're going to go to the asylum and it's all creepy. And the most dangerous patients are just kind of wandering around loose in the basement, which is weird. And then like 40 minutes in, we're going to Blair Witch this shit and just wander around in the woods, bitching at each other. And here's the thing. There's busting your buddy's balls. And then there's just being an outright asshole to a guy that you claim is your friend. And that was just weird watching the two guys along with Yasmin interact with each other. I'm like, you all don't act like you really can even stand each other. What the hell is this? And then they get out in the woods. I'm like, oh, it's the Blair Witch. Got it. A lot of this is going to seem familiar, but it really does look good. It sounds good. It's creepy. It's icky. A lot of the most violent, terrible stuff that you think you saw, you didn't see it. It's suggested. It's in your head. It looks great. I cannot wait to see what else this guy does, especially if he's got a really solid horror script, because he's got a fantastic eye for this. I'm going to give this 3.75 out of 5 not-so-silent phone cameras.
Bob?
Yeah, I dug it. And a big tell on the health of my relationships, I fucking loved how horrible the friends were to each other. It seemed so relatable and realistic how not only they talked at each other, but over each other. And then,
what are you talking about, asshole? None of us do that. Jesus, you're such a prick sometimes, Bob.
Exactly.
I would nut you if I was there, but I'm not.
I even like that they go as far subtly to when we need to stop fucking around, we stop fucking around. That's what I like. I like the quickness of the dialogue in the cafeteria setting or whatever, where I talked about the piranha sandwich. I'm going to give this so much love because of the way it looks. Something like 10% of the opening of the movie where a character is framed on one side of the shot, completely to left or right. And that seems like, oh, okay, it's artistic. But then as the cuts in some of those scenes go and they cut to who's listening to, like, the doctor talking or whatever, we get a lot of cocked shots to the left or right or off-tilter stuff. Big love for the shot Adrian's talking about where we're looking at the glasses being thrown from the pit. The shot looks gorgeous. The scene, you don't know what's happening. And the bottles is just tension ratcheting. Not only is she getting upset, but as cool as those bottles sound, I didn't want to fucking hear the 10th and 12th one he dropped either. Which, you know, I think was really effective. I really like the look so much. But one thing that I really loved as a big person watches a lot of horror is there's a fourth wall break somewhere towards the end of the movie that I think serves two purposes. One, it's like, remember, if I made this movie for you and you know about this horrible shit in real life, this is what you're supporting. But also, it's kind of a nod to a camera like, oh, did you think I almost showed you some shit earlier? Watch this last couple minutes. I really like that as something I hadn't really seen before. I don't want to recommend people see this, to see the opening, to see blood spill over a rock. But other than maybe the Guatemalan La Llorona last year, like, this is the best opening. So I hope that that image will stick with the people that he wants it to. Because at some point, this is kind of an activist movie. Talk about, this shit is horrible. I'm going to hold a mirror up to it. But then again, I don't think people that see horror movies really overlap with people that fucking kill children. I'm going to go a hard 4 out of 5. Reasons not. Just don't go into the woods, man. We know where that red X came from on that map, and it wasn't from where you fucking were supposed to think it was come from, so.
Adrian.
My rating is just out of complete respect for the filmmakers and the actors here and the cinematography, because all that, it is good. I mean, like, no one gives a bad performance. There's a guy later on in the village who's just, like, very, very excited, and even though he's, like, very clear, come on, like, how could you even slightly trust this guy? It's still like, I'm liking what he's doing. He's charismatic. But for just a few moments that I liked out of a nearly 2 hour film, it's so stretched out and so sporadic of like the shit that I actually can recommend. And it's not that much. I don't think this is a straight up bad movie. I just really don't understand why it had to be 2 hours. I feel like there's a lot that could have been cut off for a horror movie that should be horrifying. I wasn't that scared, but I'll give the director this. I'll give the film this. There's something that happens, I forgot if it's like right before the credits or right after the credits begin, that's like just a little kind of segment, which to me was scarier than the entire film. I'm always down for shit like that, where it's like, ooh, we're going to zoom in on this spooky photo. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Because I don't know what's going to pop up. I'm not really sure who I can say, you must go see this right now. I have nothing but respect for this filmmaker, but hopefully the next one is a little faster, a little more exciting, and a little scarier. I'm going to give this 2 scrumptious barbecue fingers for Grandpa to just nibble on out of 5.
Bob, I saw this as well at Fantastic Fest when this played, and I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm not even sure anymore, but we did not review it previously on the site because our rule at Fantastic Fest is 2 of us have to have at least seen it. You weren't on the site back then or we would have reviewed it. I remember as I'm watching this, oh yeah, I did see it, and started remembering more about it and going, yeah, I remember I had sort of that fatigue because it's a very slow burn, long moving, running film. And those are not ideal for festivals, especially right in the middle of a festival or towards the end. But this second time watching it, I was deeply filled with admiration for all the technical skill being displayed here. When I said earlier, when I shit on the script, I shouldn't have, because the problem in the script, the problem is the plotting. It's plotting, if you will. It's very predictable in some ways. But I think the script makes up for a lot of that, making where there actually are some surprises and twists and turns in the third act of this film. But there's too many predictable elements here. And yes, I'm sorry, Bob, I can't go with you about characters who are assholes in films. The only time that should be there at all is in films that were actually made in the 1980s, slasher killer films. That's it. After that, why are we still doing this shit? I don't give a fuck if anybody lives and dies in your horror film because they're all assholes. Then why am I even watching the fucking thing? I'm like, make me care about these characters.
Them being assholes was an expression of love, which again is a tell on my relationships. I thought it was great because I was like, oh, that's me and my friends.
What have I told you about talking during my review, fuckhead? Sorry, you know I love you.
I'll see you tonight.
I got the cuddle blanket ready. This is impressive to look at, impressive to listen to, a really impressive debut by a director nobody was paying any attention to whatsoever. Although he's had a lot of TV work, I don't think anybody was like, wow, this guy's going to make a film that looks like this. I was expecting much less. I got a lot more than anyone would have expected. And unfortunately, a lot more running time than was needed. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but what's good about it is great. And I think anybody who's really into horror being made outside of America and wants to know more about it, this is a really important film to see. Just be prepared for how much of a slow burn it's going to be. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 day after Halloween everything must go sales at the local Halloween spirit store. Because you know they hit up one of those. They made this budget for under $80,000. Like, hey, just cover that shit in a bunch of the fake blood. It'll look real on camera.